news and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. Mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see, it's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome today, beginning of this week, welcome to the Walking for Jesus program. My name is Thomas Scamble, I am the host of this program, and welcome. Brought to you by Watchmen for Jesus Network, and that's where we are. That's where it stops. I used to work for other networks, two of them, actually. And it was a good experience, I suppose, about 5 years ago. Before that, I was guest on some shows, and before that, I was sending newsletters out since, 1999. I started sending newsletters out all over the place, including the State Department. Yeah. The consulate at Kosovo, when I used to see them twice, I think. Third time, I just stopped talking and I left, because they were not interested. As a matter of fact, that's when I started discovering that the consulates... And the same thing happened when I was in the Congo, or it seems so. The consulates and the State Department don't always work together. That's something I couldn't figure out. Is they want to keep secrets away from reports going back to contractors. I could see that. But also the State Department wanted to know things the consulate was doing. I had a coworker that worked for MPRI when I worked at the State Department project for Kisangani in the Congo. It's an intelligence project to bring all the countries, four of them, together and work out this, that, and the other. And the MPRI guy, a specialist, is a contract there, and I was working for a contractor. And I remember, of course, I'm not going to name the names here because it's no. But the one I was working with for that segment, for that three-month period, said, "You would never make an intelligence officer." I asked my friend, I said, well, the one I was working with, I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because you don't know how to lie." I said, oh, thank you. That's a compliment. I said, you're exactly right. I'd tell every darn secret they got. If they're underhanded, lying, cheating, stealing, murdering, I would expose every doggone mother, woman, and child of them. I'm tired of the lies. Sick of them. I never took a disclosure, except when the CIA talked to me one time, because they were interested in things I had to say when I was in Kosovo. I never related that story before. I was in Kosovo. I'll tell you the little story here, and then I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. I was working for OSCE, the same OSCE where they had those guys kidnapped. And all matter of fact, we were at one time surrounded by 3, 4, 5, or 6 Albanian terrorists on the border of Kamenica and Serbia. We just wanted to see what would happen. So myself and a Russian lieutenant I was friends with, and you darn right I was, because they would tell me stuff, but Americans would tell me nothing. And I worked for the OSCE then, European organization. And a Greek democratization officer trying to rebuild what Wesley Clark and the NATO destroyed, trying to start World War III. Oh, absolutely. That's another story. You can't trust Clark, Wesley Clark, or Rick Joyner, or Jerry Boykin. They are liars and non-patriots, absolutely, by the organizations that they belong to. Oak Initiative and Knights of Malta and Rhodes Scholar. Man, that slam dunk DNA for globalist and liar. And I mean that sincerely. Tell them I said so. Because they're traitors to their subordinates. They're traitors to the American people. Just by virtue of belonging to those organizations. Absolutely. Look them up yourself and you'll find out. I'm tired of the lies. I'm sick of them. Anyway, we were out there. And we said, let's go see what would happen. And we went past the American checkpoint. And one of them said, you can't go over there. I said, why? We can go where we want to. I'm American, too. I said, I'll go where I want. I'm the security officer in this region. I'm going to the region, over the border, the boundary. You're at your own risk. I said, yeah, okay. So we went over there. Anyway, who cares? So I went over there. And, sure enough. I said, oh, darn. Here come about 3-4 cars. And they come up carrying RPGs and all kinds of stuff. I guess it wasn't the smartest thing in the world to do, but what dickens, you know. And they got around us, and nobody could speak the languages. The Russian couldn't speak too good Albanian, and the Greek, well, he could speak English. You had to be able to speak English, since English is a international language. You had to be able to speak English to get a job at the UN and OSCE. You had to be able to speak English. It's a universal language. Hint, hint. Anyway. So nobody could speak everybody else's language. So I said, hold on, wait here. So they all left. Oh, huh. So let's wait here and see what happens. Let's do it for 2 times in a row. So they all left and came back. 3-4 more cars came and surrounded us again, you know. And then they brought an interpreter that could speak. What the heck was going on here? It was it's Russian. And the Russian guy would tell me what they were saying and so forth. It was funny. But anyway, it was a friendly exchange for that point in time. And then, interestingly enough, while we were standing there, I saw this one little old beat-up old car with 4 what they call TMK. And before that was KLA, other Albanian terrorists before they became TMK. They just changed the names. Was already there. And they were leaving, going back to Kosovo. I said, oh, look what we just saw. Oh, what a connection. I mean, it was perfect connection. Anyway, so we all departed. Don't come back here no more, he said. I said, okay, we won't come back here no more. No problem. The UN was trying to keep the trouble going, the UN was. And they made sure the trouble continued, actually. The shame that they would do that, but that's the way it was, to keep the trouble, because they wanted Kosovo to start World War III in June of 1999, and Wesley Clark was to tick off the point. He was to be the one to start World War III. It was stopped. Look it up as I'm talking. I'm not going to go into that story. It's a rabbit trail. The general who tried to start World War III, and he was stopped by General, get this, Michael Jackson of the Brits. A good general, not like Wesley Clark, Powder Puff Clark. General Michael Jackson, James Blunt, stopped World War III in June 1999. We're supposed to be in a new world order the year 2000. Do y'all understand the impact of what I've just said? There's a long history that goes along with that. That literally goes back to 1789, 1859, 1929, and 1999. And do the math between those years, and then you'll get sort of an idea of what I'm talking about. Every 70 years, a generation of man is 70 years. It was planned that way. Collateral, debt, America, take down America, begin the day we got started. People knew the real history and proven history if you actually do the research. Kosovo was an eye-opener for me when I saw the lion at the highest level of government. Us working with the mafia. Us just looking the other way when 1,500 Serbs were murdered and massacred over a five-year period while I was there. Adolf Hitler, second cousin to Queen Elizabeth II, Churchill and Stalin, second cousins. Oh, yeah, absolutely. He targeted with the Nazis and Ustasha, Roman Catholic murderers, in 1943 at Camp Jasenovac, Jasenovac. Murdered 827,000 people in one concentration camp by the Roman Catholic Ustasha. Bishop Stefanich was going to be canonized. Should have caramelized, but he was going to canonize him, so they tried to stop the information coming out about Camp Jasenovac. 750,000 Serb Orthodox Christians were targeted for extinction and extermination. 60,000 Jews and 26,000 Gypsies were murdered in one concentration camp by the Roman Catholic Ustasha, and that's an absolute 100% grade A fine-tuned fact. That's just one camp. By the Ustasha, not even the Nazis. The Nazis were horrified. The Nazis, the SS, would visit the camp, and the testimonies was that they were horrified at the cruelty and torture that was going on there. See, people don't understand the takedown of America. They've used us as a pit bull dog since the 1700s. Each generation. All the history is connected inextricably. Your so-called history professors at Harvard, those lightweights, would not report this to you, because if I reported many times, this is going to sound a little blanketed, but they're absolutely inadequate, because they are humanist. They're secular humanist, designed to lie. And this is an absolute fact. Members of the Council of Foreign Relations, created to lie, cheat, steal, and murder. And this is by fact, by historians, quotes, dates, times, irrefutable. And while people put up with it, even the ones working for the Council of Foreign Relations or working for the secret societies, while they put up with it, while they have a rubber backbone, is beyond me. Because their soul will rest in hell, but won't be resting if they don't repent. This is another fact. Because this world is going to be taken away and replaced with eternity when the time comes. And God remembers every single thing we've said, done, unless you've repented of your sins, taken them as your Savior, then he forgets them because you sincerely accepted him. Saying the words won't do it, but truly following Jesus Christ, and he'll tell you what to do. But those that's taken a blood oath and the Freemasons, the Knights of Malta, the Knights of Columbus, the Jesuits, the Illuminati, they will be judged. And the preachers that have turned away from their congregations that are now probably the rule and not the exception. One of the last great ones was David Wilkerson. And they murdered him. Do the research on that and see what you get. Family, the takedown of America, you can say, has begun actively. The takedown's already always been set up by the Illuminati, by the Jesuits, even the Freemasons, the highest level, Knights of Malta, Fabian Society. Ooh, it just goes and goes. To set us up to be what's called the New Atlantis. That's the biggest picture. Sir Francis Bacon, all this is connected. Everything is connected and can be proven. Running away from it won't change a thing. Now, I'm going to talk today about specifics of how they've been doing it. As a matter of fact, all my broadcasts is what I do. I talk about specifics. Connect dots. And I hope you don't take my word for it. Hope you do your own research on it. Hope you get so mad at me that you want to prove me wrong that you'll go back and you'll see yourself. I don't really care if someone calls me up or emails me or whatever and says, oh, you were right. I don't care. As long as you know the truth and you find out yourself, that's all that matters. And then when the bad guys that's taking the blood oath against you, that could be even your next door neighbor that belongs to a secret society. And by the way, Freemasons, the highest level Shriners of Freemasons are against you as well because they're recruiting you because you're in certain positions they can use. And when you finally decide, well, I really don't want to do this anymore, they're going to cut you loose like a little dinghy. And you'll lose your job, you'll lose everything you've got, and they'll come after you, they'll cause all kinds of trouble for you. There's your brotherhood. Because the things they do at the jester meetings, the 33rd degree highest level, would absolutely turn your hair white if you knew exactly what they were doing. I've told pretty much some of the things they are doing. I have inside information, you might say. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and we're just going to move right along today. And all this week, I'm going to hit the ground running till I can't hit it running no more, even if I got to limp a little bit. And that's what we're going to do all week long. Bible studies, 7:30 to 9, Tuesday through Friday, and Monday nights, that would be tonight, 9 to 11 on Revelation Radio Network. It's Blog Talk Radio. They allow me to broadcast on their network. And really, you can hear it better on my website when you go on. Also, TalkStream Live. If you go into TalkStream Live today for me, if you would, and click on my mug there, that picture, and you go up and you'll see my page or whatever they call it thing, and you'll hit the little bar to the right. If you do that for me today, this hour and the next hour, twice, and if you're just listening to me on the green bar, the media player thing, and like 5 minutes, sometimes I just get to talk and I just don't stop. Until, you know, 6 or 6:01 or 6:02. But anyway, they cut off about 3 or 4 minutes before the hour, I think. And then if I'm in the middle of a sentence, you can catch it by going to my website because I'll still be talking on the website. You see, but they cut me off on TalkStream Live about 2 minutes before 3 or something like that, just for your knowledge. But if everybody would, twice in this two-hour period, touch that green bar, next to my picture, I'd appreciate it, to see how this thing works. It kind of lets me know sort of where I stand in the other groups and so forth. I just want to kind of keep track. how many people I'm chasing away by some of the things I say, but everything I say is obsessively researched. Is that the right adjective or adverb or whatever? See, I'm from the South, you see. When they asked me when I went to the UN or to the OSCE to get a job, so you know it's required to speak English. I said, yeah, okay, that's my second language. They said, what? That's my second language. My first language is American. And then of the American language, I speak Mountaineer. I'm from the mountains, you understand. I may have a college degree. I may have been in all these places, whoopee-doo, but I still come from the mountains. So I speak three languages. English, my second language, American, and Southern American. We have our own way of talking. Sometimes you may have to buy a dictionary of Southern slang. That's just the way it is. You know, it's so bad. Honestly, I'm not making a joke here, actually. When you have those recordings where it says, state this, and you do it to this artificial intelligence on the telephone, they honestly can't hear you because we pronounce words a little bit different. We slur our languages a little bit. It's just the way it is. You know, and I find it very funny in a way, but it gets frustrating when the darn operator, this artificial intelligence, can't understand you. And then I just press 1 and 2. That's easy enough. Yeah, well, but I have a whole lot of information, a whole lot of research. You know, it's a shame that 4-star generals don't have a clue what's going on at the Pentagon. And I mean this sincerely. And the Council of Foreign Relations. They're caught up in the world situation map, but don't know what's really going on. They do not. Absolutely. It's like a peeled onion. Every layer knows more than the next layer. And the serious side of it is that those Freemasons and secret society members, they are going to execute them. They will die. I mean this sincerely. It's documented. Because the people working over them will kill them when they're done with them. They've already started killing microbiologists, healthcare workers, others that don't go along with them. They will kill them. They look for a transhumanized person, a transhumanized creation. I'll talk about that this week also. But I'm dead serious about this. It's in the Protocols, chapter 15. Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. I suggest you read them because they go by each and every one of them. And they will cause them to happen and God will not stop them. And all the good deeds that you do count zero because you've taken a blood oath against God when belonging to the secret societies that worship Lucifer. You got a serious problem on your hands. You buy life insurance for your family for protection and all that, right? That's only on this earth. What about the eternal security? You're failing at your job if you've taken a blood oath with these secret societies. I don't care who you are. It don't matter. You can be the CEO of Kellogg's or you can be a 4-star general getting ready to retire. It don't make any difference. You can have a cosmic secret clearance and still, if you've taken a blood oath with Knights of Columbus, Knights of Malta to highest level, you've damned your family. If they're born again, you'll never see them again at death. You'll be in hell, they'll be in heaven. And I'm dead serious about this. Bible says so. Not me. That Bible's rule, the King James Bible rules. And they're going after that big time. We're going to dedicate the broadcast and then let's get moving here. Got a lot to talk about. All week long. Lord, we come before you in prayer. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, lead us today. Lead us this week. As Father, as we expose what's going on around us today, in these days and times, in this age, Lord, guide us to truth. And Lord, forgive us of our sins. We ask you, Lord, we lift them up to you, that we face our sins. We lift them here to you on the cross and in front of the altar. Lord, we dedicate those sins that you take them away from us. And forgive us, Lord, to keep us straight and narrow, to guide us along the straight path that, Father, will last to the end. And, Father, protect us on each side with the blood of Jesus as we go along. Lord, we pray for our veterans, that they'll be awakened to what's really going on around them, and, Father, what's really being done to them. Father, that they don't understand when they're coming back, and the ones that's not even went to combat are the committing of suicides. As Father, it's being orchestrated. Lord, we need help. We need those angels to come down and strip away the protection of the secret societies, the Wicca, and all those controlling the governments. And Father, from there to expose the truth, to expose what's really going on, expose the lies, to give the truth, Lord, by whistleblowers and those that know what's happening, Father, to witness to others that they may see the truth and accept Jesus as Savior. Father, and be prepared for the end times events as they seem to be approaching. Lord, to guide us to all truth, past what these churches are telling, past these false prophets, that, Lord, that we individually can find through the Holy Spirit, can see the truth. And then when we find the truth, to be able to have the courage to speak it out and protection to allow us to. Lord, to raise your watchmen up. Raise those elect that's going to talk and speak and stand out in the crowd, Lord, that they'll have the courage to do so, the opportunity and protection. Father, we pray for veterans, Lord, that you'll render null and void those effects of psychotropic drugs by supernatural power. And Lord, to silence the voices they have in their head, Father, that's come from technologies. That, Father, you'll destroy that technology and cause it to go back from whence it came. Lord, we pray for those children, especially those being picked for sacrifices between now and Lujasa, the Lujasa festival, Lord, to break it up, to cause it to completely destroy and be disavowed and taken out. And Lord, to cause their celebrations to fail in one way or another, Lord, by your means. And Lord, to take away their sacrifices for this Lujasa that's coming up. And Lord, to seal those portals, not allowing them to come through. And Lord, to take their sacrifices away from them. Father, protect the children that you can, Lord, that you want to. That, Father, that your will is be done, but your ways are not our ways. Father, you know better what's going on, but we pray for the children, Lord, and whatever thy will be done. And Lord, we pray for an awakening in this country. We pray for an awakening worldwide to lead people to the right truth, and Lord, to the truth about Jesus Christ. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, someone was telling me that I didn't talk too much about this long word. Sometimes I leave out a little letter every now and then when I try to spell it. It's called communitarianism. I said, well, if I'm not talking about it, I've heard it mentioned before, but I didn't find it important at all to talk about. So I haven't really talked about communitarianism. Well, I said, I'll give you a chance. I said, maybe I'm wrong. So I looked it up, and I was right. It's a bunch of baloney. This communitarianism was brought into play in 1841, at the same time Clinton Roosevelt passed on a plagiarized document he wrote, plagiarized slash whatever, same year that evolution was coming around, 1840s, 1850s. The Communist Manifesto came from Clinton Roosevelt, ancestor to FDR, 100 years before. FDR was going to do his nasty stuff he did with Pearl Harbor. What an evil individual. The proof is slam dunk. Well, it kept it in the family. I find it interesting, 100 years. Clinton Roosevelt, he wrote The Science of Government, founded on natural law. At the same time, communitarianism came out. I thought, that's interesting. And then humanism was taking its roots, being prepared to, and always, in their education system, by design, like a cancer. And then evolution. Charles Darwin was an avatar of the fallen angels. Fascism was being fashioned. Communism was being developed. Nazism came out of fascism from Karl Ritter to Frank Nietzsche. I said, wow, they're all putting this together in a 10, 15 year period, all at once. I started connecting dots and found out they're all connected to everybody. Setting up for the wars of the 20th century. Clinton Roosevelt passed this document on, which I have a copy of it, to Karl Marx and Engels. So by 1848, old Karl there, Moses Mordecai, whatever, was a Christian. Turned Satanist because they got a hold of him when they introduced him to the New World Order back then. He turned to a Satanist, Karl Marx. He used to be a Christian. He just plagiarized, just copied and renamed the same document Clinton Roosevelt plagiarized from, guess who? Adam Weishaupt from May the 1st, 1776, passed on when Adam Weishaupt died in the 1830s to Manzini. Manzini, Italian, not Jew, was Illuminati, connected between Adam Weishaupt, Clinton Roosevelt, to Albert Pike. Albert Pike setting up the Freemasons, polluting right, just all kinds of things he did. Planning World War I, World War II, World War III yet to happen before 1870s. He planned the three world wars. Family, that puts history, you might as well throw the book in the trash. That means those people going to Harvard, Yale, Columbia, I don't know, your high school, whatever, are learning garbage. And these teachers are promulgating it. These humanists, and I got the quotes. I have the evidence. Slam dunk. And all it takes is research. I'm nobody special. I just researched it. Georgia Ann Geyer, Charles Francis Potter, Roger Kimball, they confirm. Every college, university, and public schools are schools of humanism. Always have been. That's why they're so messed up. They've always been messed up. I've been warning this for 5 years. I mean, this is huge, what I'm telling you. This is massive. They go across that platform, whether it's Columbia University, Johns Hopkins, they don't make any difference. Yale University, George Washington University, don't matter. I can name you off before I have the members of the Council of Foreign Relations that were education, members of the Illuminati. It was like 15 or 20 in 1993. Now it's like every one of them, all public schools, all of them, has set us up over the long term. Chester M. Pierce, medical doctor, Harvard, confirms the evil, as he was himself, by his own quote. His own quote. I'm telling you quotes here. I'm not really here for a popularity contest. I'm telling you the truth. And please try to refute it. I'd love for you to. I really would. But see, here's the issue. They're coming out with the truth now. Everything I've been saying is coming out. I've been saying for 5 years. It seems the past year it's all coming out. A little perplexing. As of today, there's an article came out. Former Yale professor, Y-A-L-E, says that Ivy League schools are churning out zombies. A former Yale professor and admissions officer, who himself has 2 degrees from Illuminati, Columbia University. It's like all canned out, man. Recently wrote a provocative article for the New Republic called Don't send your kid to the Ivy League. In the story, William Derwinsk argues that the culture behind these institutions, shaping children in the perfect elite university candidates, enrolling them in those colleges, and then sending them to Wall Street, inadequately prepares them for real life. Should I say that again? His story, William Derwiczk, Polish, I bet, argues that the culture behind these institutions, shaping children into the perfect elite university candidates, enrolling them in those colleges, and then sending them to Wall Street, inadequately prepares them for real life. And his own experience, he seeing that many of these highly successful young adults are actually miserable and lifeless. They're essentially zombies, he says. I'm going to slam dunk you with something here in a minute. I hope it wakes some people up, but I don't know. He continues to say, our system, quote, of elite education manufactures young people, who are smart and talented and driven. Yes, also anxious, timid, and lost, with little intellectual curiosity and a stunted sense of purpose, trapped in a bubble of privilege, heading meekly in the same direction, great at what they're doing, but with no idea why they are doing it. Did you get that? Now, they did an experiment one time with 6 monkeys. And what they did was they 6 hungry monkeys in this experiment. I'm not giving you hyperbole. I'm telling you what they did. This is exactly what they did. And they were 6 hungry monkeys. And they put a stepladder to get to the one banana. That's what they did. So every time a monkey would climb up that ladder, they'd blow him off. And the others with a spring of water. I mean, with a flush of water, like they were protesters or something. Every time a monkey would climb up that ladder, they'd spray him off with a water, with a hose. They'd knock him down. Now, monkeys aren't stupid entirely. Matter of fact, some of them are smarter than people. This monkey would not go up that ladder no more. They're at least not insane. That's the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Well, these monkeys weren't stupid. And they said, I'm not going up there, hungry or not. I'm tired of this. You just keep the darn banana. I can only imagine what they're thinking. So the monkeys wouldn't go up there. If one even tried, here come the water. So all these monkeys are one accord. Go up ladder, get blasted by this darn water. I bet some of them are thinking, I can't wait to the Planet of the Apes. Anyway, so they took a monkey out and put a monkey in. Now you got 5 that know and 1 that don't know. But you got 1 that don't know that's still hungry. So this hungry monkey says, well, there's a banana. These fools are sitting here doing nothing. I'm going to get that banana. I'm only imagining what he's thinking, right? So he tries to go up that ladder. Guess what? The other monkeys ain't letting him go up there. Whatever they did stopped him from going up the ladder. Now, those are some smart monkeys, or they just don't like water. So, make a long story short, they eventually replaced all of them. And so, all 6 new monkeys eventually would not go up the ladder, and not six of them had a clue why they wouldn't go up the ladder. They just know it wasn't allowed. Now you know why they do experiments like this with animals. Now you know why. Listen, I'm going to hit you with something massive here now. Some of you may get it, and maybe some of you won't. I don't know. But Pavlov's dog, ring the bell, he does what? Salivates, right? Isn't that cute? Freud was the uncle of Edward Bernays, two evil individuals beyond the imagination. And Gestalt also. Freud was an avatar. He was taught by channeling. He's a darn Satanist. Psychology explains away the demonic realm. Well, here's the point. Bell rings, dog salivates. Pavlov. Now I'm going to throw something at you. Why do they do the experiments? Why do they even care? I'll tell you why. Because when the bell rings, everybody changes classes, don't they? When there's an indication or there's some kind of signal, we respond to it, don't we? And it's even to the point that you know that bell is going to ring at 2 o'clock. You start getting ready by 10 minutes to 2, you're already conditioned. I'm surprised we just don't salivate in school every hour. Now you see why they do these experiments? Ouch. So what did I say about these students coming out of Yale? A system of elite education manufactures young people who are smart and talented and driven, yes, but also anxious, timid, and lost, with little intellectual curiosity and a stunning sense of purpose, trapped in a bubble of privilege, heading meekly into the same direction, great at what they're doing, but with no idea why they're doing it. Now try this on for size. In the protocols that I mentioned a little while ago, the learned elders of Zion, how they planned this perfectly, since 1776, Adam Weishaupt. The protocols planned out perfectly. Let me show you what they've done. And right there is slam dunk irrefutable proof. And that the Illuminati fear personal initiative. They say in their protocols that was put out in 1776, Article 5, Paragraph 11 of what they refer to as the scheme, says, and I quote, "There's nothing more dangerous than personal initiative. If it has genius behind it, such initiative can do more than can be done by millions of people among whom we have sown discord. We must so direct the education of the Goyim communities that whenever they come upon a matter requiring initiative, they may drop their hands in despairing impotence." Now, this particular article was not really put into effect until about 1945 because they needed individualism. They needed family structure. They needed sovereignty. They needed patriotism to foment the wars. So you'd fight. And that was what Edward Bernays did. Fight for freedom. That was a key word they used. It's a setup since 1909. Carnegie Peace and Foundation. Norman Dodd talks about this. Family, we've been had. And it said in Article 9, Paragraph 9, quote, "In order to not to annihilate the institutions of the Goyim, in order not to annihilate, to get rid of the institutions of the Goyim, and we're the Goyim, before it's time," I like that word, "before it's time to, we've touched them with craft." They mean witchcraft. and have taken hold of the ends of the springs which move their mechanism. These springs lay in a strict but just sense of order. We have replaced them by the chaotic license of liberalism. We've got our hands in the administration of the law, into the conduct of elections, into the press, into liberty of the person, but principally into education and training as being the cornerstones of a free existence. And they started this, paragraph 11, of the same article, boasts and brags at their plan in regard to existing laws which had accomplished by the year 1900. And I find it very ironic. It was in 1900 they started using fluoride to medicate the population from then on. It says, quote, above the existing laws without substantially altering them and merely by twisting them into contradictions of interpretations, we have erected something grandiose in the way of results. These results found expression first in the fact that interpretations masked the laws, masked them, hid them. Afterwards, they entirely hid them from the eyes of the governments, owing it to the impossibility of making anything out of the tangled web of legislation. Then the speaker explains, quote, this is the origin of the theory, of course, of arbitration. There's much, much, much more. And when William G. Carr talked about this in Red Fog Over America, 1955, first edition, he also was trying to warn people, as Bill Cooper had, as Rousseau had, many, many, Nesta Webster, Gary, just the number, it just goes and goes, of people I've researched, have been trying to warn people. Even presidents have tried to warn people. Lincoln, McKinley, JFK. They got something in common. Well, when William G. Carr was trying to warn people, he would tell clergy about who really was behind it. He would tell governments who was really behind it. He was Canadian, Coast Guard. His books are virtually irrefutable. Hard to find them. Pawn in the Game, Red Fog of America, Satan, Prince of This World. He wrote in Red Fog of America, this is William G. Carr talking, quote, that as Henry Ford remarked so many years ago, and Henry Ford was another lowlife that worked with Hitler and the elite, I want to make sure that's clear. That, as Henry Ford remarked so many years ago, and so did Thomas Edison, is the amazing thing about the protocols. No person who studied them can deny that the conspiracy has developed exactly as those who conceived the original plans intended. One clergyman with whom I discussed, this is William G. Carr talking, one clergyman with whom I discussed this matter remarked, quote, the clergyman, nothing human could have been so absolutely correct, so perfect in regard to timing and purpose. You have convinced me that the international conspiracy is the conspiracy of Satan. But you know what? As massive as you see it is, Edwin Burke said, quote, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men sit back and do nothing. Sometimes they show 4-star generals and they see how massive it is and they just say, I might as well join it. They lose their faith. They lose their courage. They lose their humanity. And they take a blood oath to the secret societies. Then they're done. They're pulled into a web of hate, deceit, lies, and they will not win. They will lose because they're going to kill them. Chapter 15 of the protocols that I've just read. It's all there. And I'm not against any Masons and all that stuff. I'm not against them. Who am I to be against anybody? Nobody. I'm a nobody. But I will tell you, I'm trying to warn them. Based on the protocols, that was in 1950s when William G. Carr was talking about this. 1950s. Why do I say it like that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because in excuse me, 1782, these protocols first came out. It's not Jewish. Christian identity, get over yourself. The protocols were briefed to Freemasons when they joined the Illuminati at the Congress Wilhelmsbad in July of 1782. They became a part of the Illuminati. The Illuminati became a part of them. And you had some honest Freemasons in there. And Masons, you'd be shocked to find out that it was the Continental Masonry and the Illuminati were formally wedded together in July of 1782. So they know who you are. And then after lengthy negotiations between Weishaupt and members of Masonry, there was an agreement that was reached on December the 20th, 1781, to combine the two orders. And if your Shriner or your 33rd degree says that's a lie, no, he's the liar. Because he takes a blood oath to lie. You should know that because you took one at the first degree. That should be a real clue. And then if you're the third degree, that means you've taken three blood oaths to lie. If you're a fourth degree, shall I continue? So, during that period of that time, the outside world was never told exactly what had happened at the Congress of Wilhelmsbad, W-I-L-H-E-L-M-S-B-A-D, the ending word pretty much sums it up, bad, Wilhelmsbad, because even the honorable men who had been unwittingly drawn into this movement were under an oath to reveal nothing. And one such honest Freemason, George Washington was one also that was an honest Freemason. He pulled out. They make a big deal that he was in the Masons. Yes, he was. But he did not trust the Fabians, the murderers called the Fabians and Jesuits. He didn't trust them. So he just denied, rejected offers to be high level. They don't tell you about that. Anyway, one such honest Freemason, the Comte de Varou, C-O-M-T-E-D-E-V-I-R-I-E-U. He wrote in his biography that he had brought back with him. He said, and I quote the Comte de Varou, quote, "Tragic secrets, I will not confide them to you. I can only tell you that all this is very much more serious than you think. The conspiracy which is being woven is so well thought out that it will be impossible for the monarchy and the church to escape it." And from that point on, his biographer, the M. Costa de Beauregard, said, and I quote his biographer, "The Comte de Varou, Varou, V-I-R-I-E-U, could only speak of Freemasonry with horror," unquote. Then they moved this headquarters, the Illuminized Freemasonry, to Frankfurt, Germany. That's a stronghold of German finance. Not Jews, German, Italian. Controlled by the Rothschilds, whose name was formerly Bauer. German, B-A-U-E-R, not Rothschild. They changed it to Rothschild to give it a Jewish flavor. And this for the first time. This is when the Jews, German Jews, were admitted, fake Jews, you might say, were admitted into the order. Because previously, Jews had only been admitted to a division of the order called the Small and Constant Sanhedrin of Europe. They weren't part of this. They were just brought in like everybody else, like Disney and old dadgum lot of them. Nestor Webster talks about it. William T. Still talks about it. Lord of Mercy, Bill Cooper. I mean, you can name them off of honest historians. Y'all, let's go back for a reminder. Our system of elite education manufactures young people who are smart and talented and driven. Yes, but also anxious, timid, and lost. With little intellectual curiosity and a stunned sense of purpose, trapped in a bubble of privilege, heading meekly in the same direction, great at what they're doing, but no idea why they're doing it. Now, that being said, again, they'll put another light to this, brought Chris on. 1948 to 1953. Notice the 1948 part. Director of the World Health Organization. That was when the breakdown, the takedown of America began, actively. He said, Brock Chisholm said, and I quote, "To achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family traditions, national patriotism, and religious dogmas," unquote. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you in your lives right now, today, as it's affecting you? That apparently people don't care. I care, but nobody listens. What does this mean to you? Loyalty to family traditions? Same-sex marriage being approved now in 19 states. NAACP, ACLU. This is the product of what I've just told you. This is why they're doing it. This is why. Trying to legalize abortion. It's not all separate. It's together. This is why the humanists want to legalize abortion. That's not really good for families, you know. But to legalize abortion, in fact, is covered up child sacrifice to Moloch under the guise of political, economic, moral issues. Pro-abortion, anti-abortion, Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, all that's just to cover up the fact that doctors and nurses who are Wiccan and warlocks and Freemasons at the highest level know that abortion is only designed for sacrifice of human beings to Moloch. That is the real purpose of it. And to consume the placenta, to consume the blood, and consume the flesh of that baby. And for the Illuminati to get the DNA. For transhumanism to clone those babies. Do you understand what's going on now? And this is not some movie. This is what they're really doing. Nobody cares, though. Some of y'all listening today do. But out there, people don't even want to hear it. And then they complain about how bad things are getting. You try to tell them, they go running. Then complain some more. What I've told you is massive. I don't know if anybody caught what I've just said. I don't know the impact of what I'm talking about. But the education system, I'm not talking about small colleges, has been designed for this very purpose. at all the major colleges, universities. Pavlov's dog? Yeah, now you know why all that was set up all along. Now you know why Gestalt, Pavlov, all these guys, this is their sole purpose, was working for the Illuminati, doing animal testing, all that for you, for secret societies, for Satan to control this world, as the Bible says exactly what's going on. Liberalism is handled by the Democrats at the highest level. And the killing and the murdering and the wars of your young sons going to war in battle is handled by the Republicans at the highest level. Council of National Policy, the Council of Foreign Relations. The Democrats handle the Marxist Humanist Manifesto active in your country. They work together. And Martin Luther King figured that out too. He knew by his own quote that he'd been betrayed. We've been betrayed by both the Democrat and Republican parties. They work together. JFK figured it out too, and he warned the American public. That's why they all died. So, let me give you some more about what they do at our major college universities. This has now come out today. Boy, that fired me up. There's the evidence. There, right there it is, man. I mean, you can't, there it is. This guy that wrote this report. Unlikely, Venture for America founder Andrew Yang recently wrote a book, Smart People Should Build Things. What does this mean? Essentially making the same point. Oh, Yang here points to the fact that most graduates from top American universities are heading to finance and consulting jobs. Simply because that's how success has been defined for them. Yang argues that instead of ditching their passions and following the pack, talented young people should be starting and building new businesses. See, he doesn't know about dropping their hands in total disregard. He doesn't know they're combining all the corporations under six in the world. He doesn't understand that. Continuing, unlike Yang, Derwinskis, whatever, places blame on the universities rather than the recruiters. He says that Ivies and the other elite colleges like them are working in a system that places more importance on imbuing status than on education. He tells parents that they should not sanctify the Ivies for their kids, and that they're better off sending them to a small liberal arts college like Wesleyan that he thinks emphasize curriculum over image. See, all of them are wrong. All of them are absolutely, totally wrong. Who am I to say? Well, I'm a nobody saying it. So I'll let a humanist say it. Charles Francis Potter. He said, and I quote, education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism. And every American school is a school of humanism. What can a theistic Sunday school meeting for an hour once a week and teaching only a fraction of the children do to stem the tide of the five-day program of humanistic teaching? Unquote. Where to find it? Humanism, a New Religion, 1930. Smoke Gatton for a while. What can a theistic Sunday school meeting for an hour, once a week, and teaching only a fraction of the children do to stem the tide of the five-day program of humanistic teaching? End quote. I won't say it twice. Arnold Breckman says that Marxist academies are today's power elite in the universities. And Marxism today is a dominant view in some African and Latin American countries under the guise of liberation theology. And incredibly, on many American campuses, U.S. News and World Report reported that there's 10,000 plus now Marxist professors on America's campuses. Georgia Ann Geyer said that the percentage of Marxist faculty numbers can range up to an estimated 90%, 90% in some of Western universities. Arnold Beckman said that Marxist academies are today's power elite in the universities. Herbert London, educator, said, I quote, New York University, the strides made by Marxism at American universities in the last two decades are breathtaking. Every discipline has been affected by its preachment, and almost every faculty now counts among its members a resident Marxist scholar, unquote. Duke University Slavic language professor Magnus Krinsky described increasing Marxist presence on his campus, a presence actively encouraged by the university administration, which he said is fetishly luring Marxist literary critics to Duke University with large salaries. I guess Reagan missed that when he said, Gorbachev, tear down that wall. Another liar, like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Ventura. They're all actors, literally. Now you understand what's really going on out there. Now, watch this. You have another appreciation, then, of this quote of Dr. Chester M. Pierce of Harvard University. He addressed 2,000 teachers in Denver, Colorado at a conference in 1973. He said to 2,000 teachers over a microphone the following, and I quote Dr. Chester Pierce of Harvard, a medical doctor. I wouldn't let that sucker put me under if I had an abscess tooth and I was getting ready to die tomorrow. Somebody like that would kill you in a heartbeat. Dr. Chester M. Pierce said, and I quote, to these 2,000 teachers, every child in America entering school to age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in a supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of the nation as a separate entity. It's up to you teachers to make all these children well by creating international children of the future, unquote. Family, the takedown of America began actively in 1945. 1948, full swing. All kinds of things started happening there. Fake Jews took over Israel. You had the UFO, Roswell came up, forming of the UN, forming of the CIA. Man, there's so many things happened in 1941, 1948. Man, it boggles the mind. Preparing for the New World Order. Our Illuminati, as if we owned them, was told not to rush it. No pun intended, not to rush it into things. But our Illuminati got impatient over the decades. Tried to start a dictatorship in America, starting with FDR. Then in the 1960s, that fell apart. Then Nixon, 1972-74, that rascal. 1984-87, I've talked about this before. Now you see how it worked? And then by 1999, they at least wanted to get World War III started. That was the plan all along. 1999. Now we go back to Wesley Clark. Oh, I've only scratched the surface. I don't know I just wonder sometimes what's it going to take to get people's attention. Even the bad guys out there that's taken the blood oath to realize the quicksand they're in, and they're going to lose their families. International rights of the child, when that comes up, they've got enough situations and abuses that they've been keep cataloging and putting in the newspapers to this time get it signed. Because Hillary Clinton failed to promote it, lobby it in 1989, 1990. They failed. Remember the Democrat Party? Nay, the Republican Party is almost as worse, if not more so. Both y'all, at the highest level, are going to suffer the fires of hell if you don't repent. Because that's what it boils down to. Because they worship Lucifer. That's what the Knights of Malta, Lucifer. Freemasons, at the highest level, Lucifer. And whether anybody believes it or not, they do. The Illuminati, Italian, German, 26 families. The Vatican inside is going to destroy the Vatican. They always planned it. It's called re-spiritualization into the New Age movement. Helena Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, and Michael Aquino, 1871, 1919, and 1975. Three phases. Teilhard de Chardin, Jesuit priest. Look him up. Father of the New Age movement. Family, it's all connected. Inextricably. But there's an answer. And the answer is not what people like. They want to try to do it themselves. It's not going to happen. What I've tried to explain the past hour is show you how deeply entrenched this takedown of America, this takedown of the world really is. Well, it's not just America. It's every other country, every country. Leave America, quick, leave. Yeah, really, go where? Where are you going to, by the way? What country are you going to go where the New World Order is not? SEAL mean, SEAL team guy says, well, I'm going to go to the Ozarks, and I'm going to live there and whatever. No, you're not, because they got your DNA. Don't you understand they can trace your DNA by satellite? They've got you chipped. 7,800 veterans are suing the government, DOD and CIA, for septal nose implants. I've talked already about the digital implants. You're just breathing it. They have your DNA signature code. Your DNA. The chips just enhance it. That's all. So unless you like living in the caverns and eating rock lizards the rest of your life, you're going to have to come out. And when you do, they got you. Family, it is supernatural what's going on. That's my point. There's no human has got the brains to put this out. There's no family bloodline even have the closest intelligence to maintain this for centuries. It is not possible. You've got generals, most of them up there in Joint Chief of Staff, that work against you. The presidents, plural, always have. The answer is, in fact, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But we're not doing it. You see, they're making sure that don't happen. You understand? They're making sure each generation gets further and further away. And then they do these studies, these tests, go around the street, you know, and doing interviews to find out where the culture is. Are we ready yet to pull the pin? And as long as you all keep nitpicking them, like stopping their acts and movements and legislation, the cart can't turn with a couple missing spokes on it. A car can't go with a flat tire, you understand? So they got to figure out which generation where you're not going to do that anymore. So all you got to do is knock out some of their spokes. They got major, major repair going on. This is the big picture that I'm trying to get across to people in the only way I can. so. And, well, what I'm telling you now seems, if you really listened, you would say, oh my gosh, this is so, what are we going to do? That's how they want you to feel. To drop your hands in total impotence. See how they've done it? Then you look for the solution. Now, right now, people are looking for man-made solutions. We're going to impeach Obama. You had this, oh my goodness, bless his heart, SEAL guy, SEAL team, he got out and he gave a speech on YouTube. Anti-Obama and anti-Muslim. Then he did this dramatic, I guess it was on cue, throw the Quran down on the floor and all this, like Terry Jones. Terry Jones was trained by P2 in Germany. Terry Jones is no small-time, backwoods Florida preacher. They're linked up to Christian Identity, this Terry Jones. You understand? And so the idea is to attack the Muslims, and that way they dig in because they want to create conflict. You see, I'm not saying accept them, no, but pray for them, witness to them. The love of Jesus Christ, because you have many that are closet Christians. Not Christianity, but Christians following Jesus are closet Christians in Saudi Arabia. I know some because I was there 4 years. And they'd pull you off the side, Tommy, you know, they were interpreters that worked for me when I trained and was operations manager for Vanel, protecting OPM Sang. And some of the interpreters would pull me off the side because they couldn't tell their family that they were Christian. And not to be confused with Christianity, created by the Vatican. Heresy, the way they've conducted it. But in any case, you'd be surprised how many are converting over to Jesus Christ. Well, so... I think what I was saying was that they see how vast this conspiracy is. Your four-star generals, your colonels, they're under the control of a blood oath, and they say, well, there's no way we can beat them. What if David did that? What if David saw, that's a big old guy. I got nothing but stones here, and I got this sling. Uh-oh. I can't wear that armor. I can't even walk in it. What if David did that? What if Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said, we can't, don't throw us in there. What if Moses says, this is too big, I can't do this. They see the big picture, but only from a humanistic point of view. That means they've lost their faith. General Smedley Butler of the Marine Corps was approached by elitists to lead a revolt against FDR, him not knowing that FDR was a part of it in the background. They were going to catch Smedley Butler leading a revolt against the federal government in 1933-34 because they knew that he was disgruntled and the Bonus Army of 500,000 men were too. So they figured they could get them to form together that would justify martial law. They were going to double-cross General Butler. Yeah, but he fooled them. He blew the whistle to Congress, and they formed the Dirk C. McCormick Commission, investigated, confirmed that a plot to seize the White House existed for a long time. But General Butler blew the whistle. He went right before them and said, gave testimony about how to seize the White House. But he was a patriot, an honest man. He was a Quaker, and he was tough. He had 3 Medal of Honors. He turned one down, so it's not on record. He said, I didn't deserve it. You can hear about it. It's on the internet. His actual testimony is on the net. And they've been trying to do it ever since. You see, God's in control. That's my point. When are they going to realize this? They're not in control. They keep failing. So they figure, well, let's do enough to get God to pull away, to give us more opportunity. And that's what they're trying to do now. And testing every decade. See how far along they are to where God will no longer intervene because nobody else is going to be praying. You see what's happening? For example,
you can roughly locate any community somewhere along a scale running all the way from democracy to despotism. This man makes it his job to study these things.
Well, for one thing, avoid the comfortable idea that the mere form of government can of itself safeguard a nation against despotism.
For big business, despotism was often a useful tool for securing foreign markets and pursuing profits. One of the U.S. Marine Corps' most highly decorated generals, Smedley Darlington Butler, by his own account, helped pacify Mexico for American oil companies, Haiti and Cuba for National City Bank, Nicaragua for the Brown Brothers brokerage, the Dominican Republic for sugar interests, Honduras for U.S. fruit companies, and China for Standard Oil. General Butler's services were also in demand in the United States itself in the 1930s, as President Franklin Delano Roosevelt sought to relieve the misery of the Depression through public enterprise and tougher regulations on corporate exploitation and misdeeds.
More power to you, President Roosevelt. The entire country's behind you, thrilled with hope and patriotism.
But the country was not entirely behind the populist president. Large parts of the corporate elite despised what Roosevelt's New Deal stood for. And so, in 1934, a group of conspirators sought to involve General Butler in a treasonous plan.
The plan, as outlined to me, was to form an organization of veterans.
That's General Butler.
To use as a bluff or as a club, at least, to intimidate the government.
But the corporate cabal had picked the wrong man. Butler was fed up with being what he called a gangster for capitalism.
I appeared before the Congressional Committee, the highest representation of the American people, under subpoena to tell what I knew of activities, which I believe might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship. The upshot of the whole thing was that I was supposed to lead an organization of 500,000 men, which would be able to take over the functions of government.
A Congressional Committee ultimately found evidence of a plot to overthrow Roosevelt. According to Butler, the conspiracy included representatives of some of America's top corporations, including J.P. Morgan, DuPont, and Goodyear Tire. As today's chairman of Goodyear Tire knows, for corporations to dominate government, a coup is no longer necessary.
Corporations have gone global. And by going global, the governments have lost some control over corporations, regardless of whether the corporation can be trusted or cannot be trusted. Governments today do not have over the corporations the power that they had and the leverage that they had 50 or 60 years ago. And that's a major change. So governments have become powerless compared to where they were before.
Capitalism today commands the towering heights and has displaced politics and politicians as the new high priests and reigning oligarchs of our system. So capitalism and its principal protagonists and players, corporate CEOs, have been accorded unusual power and access. This is not to deny the significance of government and politicians, but these are the new high priests.
That was actual footage, and you can actually see General Butler speaking. Family, it's not the corporate elite. It's not the bankers, like some people say are. No, it's the Illuminati, high-level kings and queens of this world. It's the Vatican that's controlled by the Illuminati. It's Italian. It's German Illuminati. And they're slaves to a higher level of supernatural There's no aliens out there. That's ridiculous. The spiritualists, if you want to call them that, see them as ascended masters or whatever. They're coming out. Helena Blavatsky, Alice Bailey is connected to them because they're the ones that taught Alice Bailey and Blavatsky, Chet and Chardine, Albert Pike, Adam Weishaupt, what to do. It's not human that did this. It's supernatural. I'm giving you specifics of how they're doing it. And the solution was 2 Chronicles 7:14. Well, it's been set up, the date, and when this goes very deep. It's been generations in the planning, culminating just this decade as they have their plans set up and invasion prepared. It's already here, thanks to our own presidents and our own Joint Chief of Staff and our own folks at the highest level have allowed the Russians and Chinese and other UN troops, MS-13, the street gangs that's coming in the tens of thousands, the Muslims, the terrorists, allowed to come in since we formed up Al-Qaeda, funded them. Al-Qaeda is ISIS. That's a fact. You can deny it if you'd like to, but it doesn't change the fact at all. They're saying now that ISIS comes from the CIA. Those of us that have known this are already telling you ISIS comes from the CIA. ISIS is also part of the occult, ancient mystery religions, ISIS, Ishtar. That's why they call it ISIS. It's not a political name. Has a deeper meaning to it because they're getting ready to pull the plug. As a matter of fact, with a few lies, should just tell.
Oh, thank you very much, Richard, and I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future. I mean, Richard just gave what could be described as a mini version of my remarks in talking about the issues that confront us. But I look out at this audience filled with not only many friends and colleagues, but people who have served in prior administrations. And so there is never a time when the inbox is not full. Shortly before I started at the State Department, a former Secretary of State called me with this advice: don't try to do too much. And it seemed like a wise admonition if only it were possible. But the international agenda today is unforgiving. Two wars, conflict in the Middle East, ongoing threats of violent extremism and nuclear proliferation, global recession, climate change, hunger and disease, and a widening gap between the rich and the poor.
And a little bit of truth mixed with a couple of lies is this testimony about Al-Qaeda and ISIS.
We also have a history of kind of moving in and out of Pakistan. I mean, let's remember here, the people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago. And we did it because we were locked in this struggle with the Soviet Union. They invaded Afghanistan, and we did not want to see them control Central Asia. And we went to work. And it was President Reagan, in partnership with the Congress, led by Democrats, who said, you know what, sounds like a pretty good idea. let's deal with the ISI and the Pakistani military, and let's go recruit these Mujahideen, and that's great. Let's get some to come from Saudi Arabia and other places, importing their Wahhabi brand of Islam so that we can go beat the Soviet Union. And guess what? They retreated. They lost billions of dollars, and it led to the collapse of the Soviet Union. So there's a very strong argument, which is wasn't a bad investment to end the Soviet Union, but let's be careful what we sow because we will harvest. So we then left Pakistan. We said, okay, fine. You deal with the stingers that we've left all over your country. You deal with the mines that are along the border. And by the way, we don't want to have anything to do with you. In fact, we're sanctioning you. So we stopped dealing with the Pakistani military and with ISI, and we now are making up for a lot of lost time.
How about that, huh? Wasn't that something? By our own mouth. That's the way all of them are. Every one of them. Now, let me give you a little bit more truth than what she told you about that. Did you know that the success of the Islamic Revolution in Iran in 1979 and the international jihad against Soviet troops in Afghanistan, truthfully, was promoted by the Covert Action Division of the USA's Central Intelligence Agency. They work for the Jesuits. They work for the Vatican. You understand this? They work for the United States. And it was with the help of ISI of Pakistan. And it was ruled by General Zing al-Haq, ul-Haq, whatever, led to all kinds of bad consequences, contributed to the Pakistan-Afghani region emerging to the epicenter of punishment terrorism of the most ruthless kind. And so firstly, from research it found that the emergence of the Sunni extremist Sepah-e-Shabaab Pakistan, SSP, was funded by the ISI of Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, and the United States. Each of them, of us, had our own reasons. Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, backed into the counter that increasingly assertive Shiites. And Iraq actually assisted and caused a, shall we say, a conflict among the Sunni Balochists of Iran. So the CIA backed it to use against Iran, as well as then the USSR. Of course, working with the USSR behind closed doors. That's how they do it. So, another thing, you had a large flow of Saudi money. The kings and queens of Saudi Arabia, of Saudi Arabia, are in the same bloodline as Queen Elizabeth II and Bush. They're fake Jews. And the Saudi people know this. They're not Muslim. I was over in Saudi Arabia, and I knew there's a division between the Saudi people and the royal family. They knew the royal family wasn't Muslim. They're pretend Muslim. That's why the Saudi Arabian National Guard was of a different tribes than everybody else. Two of them, to be exact. Yeah, buddy. Anyway, the Wahhabi, the Ubandi Madras all over Pakistan, and the marginalization of a kind of a tolerant and soft Belarus. They found themselves without any political and financial influence. Now, what they had to do was to rally the Muslims around the world against the USSR to create that conflict and to sow discord, to set up for the Balkans. See, the CIA tried to take the Balkans in Operation Fiend in 1948. Enron. Operation Fiend failed to take out the Hoxha. Frank Wisner Sr., remember Frank Wisner Jr., Enron? His father led the or was in charge of that operation in 1948 that failed, 1948-49, to take out Hoxha. So they had to bring in the son of Churchill by the name of Tito, Freemason, take over Yugoslavia. Yeah, to make it Yugoslavia, control it that way. Oh, it was some messing going on there. Frank Wisner Sr. committed suicide in 1960. Anyway, to rally the Muslims around the world, the CIA consciously encouraged religious fanaticism and pan-Islamism. And intelligence agencies in U.S. and West European countries, they encouraged jobless Muslims in many countries to go to Pakistan, take up military training in the Wahhabi Deobandi Madras, and join the Afghan Mujahideen. They had 6,000 to 10,000 Muslims, majority of them were Arabs, went to fight against the Soviet troops in Afghanistan. And Saudi Arabia funded them, the ISI trained them and motivated them, and the CIA and other Western intelligence agencies equipped them. In comes, guess who? Osama bin Laden, part of the CIA, like Saddam was part of the CIA. Like the Shah was part of the CIA. Like Milosevic was part of the CIA. You got it? Now you're getting it. And there were Freemasons, too. Golly. Osama bin Laden played an active role in the training and motivation of the mercenaries and led them to battle against the Soviet troops. Now you know the story there. Then around December of 2001, Omar Sheikh killed bin Laden. Munir Bhutto confirms his death on David Frost Show, 2007. And by the way, several months after she said this on air, she was assassinated. Imagine that. Guess somebody wasn't happy with her saying that bin Laden was dead. Certainly, between 2001 and 2007, bin Laden was killed. Woo, that puts a wrinkle on it. Well, Moscow started sending to Afghanistan the Muslim members of its armed forces recruited from Central Arab republics, Chechnya, Dagestan. The troops got infected by the pan-Islamism of the CIA's mercenaries. A number of new pan-Islamic organizations, Wahhabi, Deobandi, Ali Hadith, they call them, orientation sprang up in Pakistan. And they were given the leadership role by the United States for leading the mercenary brigade to battle. We'll just call it the most important of them with the HUM. It's a long name, and the HUJI and the LET. I'm not going to go over what they are. It's a long name. It's terrible to pronounce. They're all Mujahideen. Terrorists, no matter what you call them. The HUM and the HUJI came out of the SSP and shared its anti-Shiite orientation. Now we're going to get down to it here. The HUM produced some of the best fighters of the Afghan war. They were favored by the CIA and got the lion's share of the Stinger missiles, explosives, and other equipment toward the end of the 1980s. I know that in Kosovo, when I was there, we were trying to trace with the Russians. I was working with them. You darn right I was. And some the Italian Carabinieri trying to find out where those darn Stinger missiles were in Kosovo because they were bringing them in. That was a big thing for a while. Now I know where they got them from. That was embarrassing. But that's okay. Sometimes when I remember this, it just really just torques my jaw. Something awful, but there's nothing I can do except tell people. Which is what I did. That's why my contract ended 2 years before it's supposed to. I didn't shut up the whole 5 years I was there. I didn't shut up when I left. That was in 2004. I was there from 1999 to 2004, and I was telling everybody I could I didn't care who heard what. Not my problem. I believe in the truth. No matter what. No matter what. Well, promises were made to jobless Muslims at the time of the recruitment. Did you get that? They made promises to the jobless Muslims when they were recruited that after the war was over, they would be helped to resettle in the United States. Lucrative jobs were not kept up. So these mercenaries went back to their country of origin and joined the fundless groups and fighting the governments. Now you know why. Now you know why they destroyed Detroit. Have some of y'all caught the massive implications I've just made? Now you know why they targeted the automobile industry in Detroit, Dearborn, to destroy Detroit, destroy the commerce of Dearborn to make way for the Muslim terrorists to move in that you have today. That was the reason they destroyed Detroit. Well, others went back to fighting governments, Algeria, Tunisia, Egypt. And others stayed behind and were diverted to different places by the ISI. And the whom and the Houthi were used by the ISI to rally around the dregs of the war in the 1980s and divert them to India. India. Pakistan. Now you know why Benazir Bhutto had a problem. Is it all coming around? Y'all catching the point here? They did so very successfully, by the way. She got rid of terrorism, didn't she? Woohoo, that ticked them off bad. That ticked them off because she was a good person. Oh, I'm getting right down to something you're going to, you all better just sit down on. I'm just building something up. I'm not just giving you. I'm going to tell you something here in a minute. Houthi took over the leadership of the jihadi elements in Bangladesh and whom in the rest of the world, including USA, whom cadres, H-U-M cadres, fought actively against U.S. Marines in Somalia. Shall I repeat that? The very ones that the CIA formed up, helped form with everybody else, fought against their own U.S. Marines in Somalia. Anybody out there connecting dots? Now you know why we lost Korea. It's set up to lose. Now you know why we lost Vietnam. It's set up to lose. I've always talked about it. Same thing with the Gulf War syndrome, the same thing in the Iraq War, the first one, and the same thing going on now. It ain't nothing different. Now, not having learned any lessons from the sequel of policy-encouraged fanaticism and pan-Islamism in Afghanistan, and despite the humiliation inflicted on U.S. troops in Somalia by the whom of which the CIA trained in 1993, here comes my slam dunk. Y'all ready for a slam dunk from this old country boy? Well, the slam dunk is the CIA then, back then, asked the ISI to actually divert part of the dregs, they call them, of the whom and Houthi, H-U-G-I, to Bosnia. Ouch. Boy, that hurts. And that was to assist the Muslims there in their fight against the Serbs. So they had to come up with fake massacres. They're killing women and children just like Hitler and all this. That's where Hillary comes in. 1993, lying her way through. Trying to Srebrenica massacre. was a fake. To justify us going in there to complete what they had started. Listen carefully. The transfer of the CIA-trained Muslims in Afghanistan, 10,000 of them, in the late 70s, to Bosnia, to begin that jihad in Bosnia, 1990s, excuse me, late 80s, was funded by Saudi intelligence. The arms and ammunition was given to Iranian intelligence by them. The Iranian intelligence working with Saudi. Saudi funded it. The arms and ammunition was given by the Iranian intelligence. The leadership and motivation of the terrorists, 10,000 of them, were provided by serving and retired officers of the ISI and Turkish intelligence. And the man who shot bin Laden, Omar Sheikh, he masterminded the kidnapping of Daniel Pearl in the Wall Street Journal. Remember that? He had his jihadi inoculation in Bosnia, like bin Laden had in Afghanistan. So from Bosnia, they were diverted to Kosovo by the CIA, and thereafter, again, left in the lurch after they'd done our job, our hatchet job, USA's hatchet job in the Balkans. That's continuing today. I spent 5 years there seeing it happen. I have much more. And you know that Rabbani persuaded Baron Dinan Rabbani, the president of Afghanistan, permitted him to move over to Afghanistan. Rabbani persuaded Benir Bhutto, who was at that point prime minister of Pakistan, to let bin Laden shift to Afghanistan. And she agreed to it after consulting Washington, D.C. And then bin Laden flew up to Peshawar, took up residence in Islamabad. Mustaraf was her director general of military operations. He supervised the transfer. Oh, it just goes on. I did a lot of research, found a lot of stuff on it. Different places. Well, now, the takedown of America. ISIS is Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is ISIS. And they got our ISIS in a sling. Because they're up in Dearborn, Michigan, and Detroit. That's where they let them through. And the immigration that's coming through, they're sneaking in with children. As our MS-13. Now y'all getting the point here, y'all. And what's going on for real? The immigrants are also victims, as they will be exterminated once they have been used up by the very same ones they're forming because of NSSM 200, depopulation plan. I probably need to cover that. Remind me if I... The NSSM 200, the depopulation plan by Kissinger and Haig. One dead, one alive, both evil. Alexander Haig, that's exactly what I said. And Global 2000 by Jimmy Peanut Farmer Carter to continue the depopulation plan. Oh, what the heck. The murder plan, I call it. It's very complicated. It's also designed to reduce the population. So you see, there's all kinds of little things going on in the background that people aren't aware of. When this seal, spoke out with his prepared speech about how evil Obama is. Well, he's just like FDR and all the rest of them, because they're all what's called light workers. They are Luciferian, secret society members, trained from birth, literally, to carry through this New World Order agenda. Like Obama, he's playing his role as he's trained Muslim. He's a trained Muslim to be like a Muslim, to play that role. It's all been scripted out like a reality show. That's the point I'm trying to make you. It's all scripted. So when these people speak out, I don't know what level they are. But it's not Obama. It's not the Muslims. It's the secret societies. It's our own people inside. It's ones in Europe on their own people. All this other is distraction. That's a concept. The problem is that it's not the Muslims nor Obama who are willing to, but they are willing pawns of this. But it's all of our presence have always been. In the highest level of Freemasonry, Knights of Malta, the Vatican has created Islam. The Vatican created the religion of Islam, and the Illuminati was part of it. The Vatican created the religion of Islam in the 6th century. Zionism in 1897. Nazism. Fascism, communism in 1850s, 1840s, 1850s. When are we, the people, going to learn? It's certainly generals like Clark and Boykin and all the rest that are Knights of Malta, leading double lives as a secret society member, hell-bent on destroying America and bringing it in the New World Order. That's what they're for. These are all facts. Every president since our history was born, except for the ones assassinated, had been hell-bent on leather on bringing dictatorship to the American people. FDR, Nixon, LBJ, Bush, Clinton, Obama, all of them. They're all in the same bloodline, too, by the way. They keep it in the family. Of course, some of them got outside the family, cigars and all. You know, there's 26 families of the Illuminati. All the members of the Knights of Malta, the Council of Foreign Relations, has, in fact, started all the wars since World War I. In Vietnam, Jesuits were responsible for the Civil War, as Lincoln confirms in his own diary. The problem is that lots of Muslims are thinking that they're winning this battle when they're only being used as pawns for destruction and chaos. Same thing for the military and police forces. They're being used as armies for the New World Order, to pit one against the other. Since there are people that wake up from the programming and refuse orders, there's always hope. There's a Zach interview by Bob Richardson that did a really good interview with this guy that was a security on the border between USA and Mexico. He's a retired border patrol officer that confirms about the influx of all these people. 27 July, immigrants. 27 July, oh, that was yesterday. Article came out. Family, I've been saying this for I don't know how long. Border agents say violent MS-13 recruiting at Arizona facility for new Central American arrivals. I've been saying this over and over and over, how they're putting all the gangs together, getting ready for that day when they're told to unleash, which will justify martial law. But what they don't know is they're going to double-cross even MS-13. They're going to double-cross the street gangs. They're going to double-cross a whole lot of people and declare martial law. And the UN troops that are already here in the millions, Russian and Chinese, it's going to be a shoot gallery. And you'll want martial law. You'll want martial law. That's how they engineer it. It's called the Hegelian dialectic. Matter of fact, I got a quote for you. That kind of lays it out from the Satanist himself. Kissinger, 21 May, 1991, at Evian, France, in a Bilderberg meeting, transcribed from a tape recording made by one of the Swiss delegates. Kissinger said, and I quote, listen carefully, "Today Americans will be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told there was an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all people of the world will plead with world leaders to deliver them from this evil. This one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by their world governments," unquote. I do believe, and I have to say it in this way, my opinion, is that this is where the UFO invasion lie comes in. Because now they're preparing, recently, putting out in the public view, a background to the event, what they call the event. This is where I've been talking about all along, about disclosure of this alien lie that they're talking about. Sanan de Manuel, the real false prophet. Extraterrestrials. Well, they're preparing it. It seems like that we're going to be invaded by some extraterrestrial life or some other nonsense they're going to come up with. Star Wars, the Reagan Project, Project Blue Beam. Look up 3D holographic imagery. And look up barium strontium niobate chemical that's being distributed in the air. Look it up, chemtrails. Produces a 3D holographic imagery in the atmosphere. The voice of God technology that puts the microwave technology in your heads through a microwave technology type devices. This has been going on for a long time. Are you all putting connecting dots here? We're close. Family, we're very close. But in the meantime, keep us all busy with all this political, economic, education to dumb us down. So we have nowhere else to go but to the government for protection. Before we give you protection, you got to give up your rights. That's what Jerry Boykin and it's what Rick Joyner is talking about, a military coup of the U.S. government. So they make Obama look bad, which is not hard to do, so that the military will say, well, there's a Muslim government anyway, let's take over. Just like General Butler was going to do. Said Butler knew better. All that's going to happen is despotic government take over despotic government. That's all it is. Pot for the kettle, we call it back home. There's no good ones in this. You've got people in it that think they're doing the right thing, but they're being fooled and led down the wrong path. Because the people they have within them have taken a blood oath against them. The family, Jesus Christ is the answer. Because it's going to come down to it. Judgment for every man, woman, and child ever lived will be judged. This earth will be judged. It is going to happen. Some people will die before, will be judged at that moment. Family, it's not something to play with. And a belief does not establish reality. The reality is set forth in the King James Bible. And there's under a massive attack. Because they're afraid of that Bible, otherwise wouldn't attack it. They're afraid of Jesus Christ, otherwise we wouldn't defame his name. That's what's going on today. Well, family, what's going on right now is we're at the end of the show. I want to remind you that we're played up randomly at highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net by John Kirkler, graciously plays our broadcasts and our Bible studies. Tonight, 9 to 11, I'll say it again, John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, at highportradio.net. Also, tonight, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I got another broadcast on Revelation Radio Network on Blog Talk, Watchman for Jesus program. And you can watch it there and listen, or if the sound is kind of shaky, you can come on my website where I immediately start the live broadcast at 9 p.m. tonight. It breaks into the 24-hour loop that I have running there. 9 to 11 tonight. And then tomorrow, 4 o'clock, here we go. Hit the ground running. I appreciate y'all's attention tonight, this afternoon. And we'll be back tomorrow. We'll be back tonight. I already told you that. And we'll move right along. And I got some more news to talk about that we'll fill in. You need to know what's going on in the background. And I'll tell you. And I hope you don't believe me. I don't want you to believe me, but I want you to check it out and prove me wrong. Go for it. Don't matter if I find out or not. I don't care. As long as you at least attempt to challenge it. As long as you find out on your own. You do the work. Don't drop your hands in total disarmament. I don't mean pick up arms, but I can't do it anymore. No, you do it. You take the effort to find out what's going on. So, we'll talk about it tomorrow, about globalism, the bottom line. So, have a good night. And know that Jesus Christ is coming back, but it's his choosing. And if you want to find out about it, go out there and get your King James Bible, Cambridge edition. It'll tell you all about it. Y'all have a good night. And God bless. God be with you. This is The Watchman, signing off. Every fear I